Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you are Lord of all. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so incredibly much, God, that we can center ourselves inside of your presence, inside of your peace. And I pray this morning, God, over every person watching, but specifically over our state, over our region, over those in Houston right now. We just declare your supernatural power, your powerful peace to rule and reign. We speak to the remnants of Harvey, and we declare, storm, be still, be quiet, cease your destructive power. And instead, we just release the power of heaven. We thank you, Father, for your supernatural protection over life and property that's already taken place. And we thank you that you're going to continue to be with everyone who's been touched by this. We invite your Holy Spirit and your presence to come in a way that we could never have imagined before, Lord. I pray that we would encounter you in a brand new way this morning, God. We would hear your voice. We would feel your presence in a way that we've never experienced. And whether that's somebody who's just meeting you for the first time today, God, or the person who's been walking with you for years and years and years, Lord, we want a fresh encounter, a fresh revelation of your goodness and who you are. And we just declare this right now, the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Well, we just got a couple of quick announcements before we go into the message time. Obviously, we did not have our worship service, and the thing that God really put on my heart was we've been really talking about emphasizing how important it is for us to personally connect with the Lord in worship, personally go into his presence. And there's something powerful about corporate worship coming together. And we really emphasize that. There's a lot of people who will say, well, I don't need to go to a church and I don't need to get connected in. And unfortunately, that actually robs them of a greater part of God's presence when it's felt in community and relationship. But at the same time, if we think that the only way that we can ever connect with the power and presence of God is when we do come into a church setting or an event or any of those things, then we're also robbing ourselves from something that God has given us. And that's that personal connectivity, personal relationship with him. And so I look at this morning as an opportunity. When we were praying for whether we should just cancel the service and go to the live stream, I really believe it was important for us to keep our volunteers and you safe from getting out into the rain and the wind. And we really do believe that it was a wise thing to do. And I think it's going to prepare us to be able to be first responders to those in the coming weeks that may need help in some relief efforts. And so be looking for that. We'll be talking about that. But right now, where you're at as a family, the early church would meet together in the temple, then they would meet together in homes. And there was something powerful about both encounters. And so as we worship him this morning, I want you to really, really look. We don't have the music. But that doesn't mean the music of your heart, the music of your praise, the music of your thoughts, the music of your life, the family time you can have right now is not equally powerful. It is. It's as equally powerful to the Father. It raises up to him in heaven as a sacrifice. And so I want you just to really realize what we're doing right now is worship, because we are attuning our hearts to his heart. We're taking our thoughts and our minds, and we're saying the circumstances around us will never dictate our worship of you, Father. And so whether we have the full worship team before us, or Cindy and Chris and the guitar, or just like what we're doing right now, you're empowered right now from this moment on to worship him wherever you're at, whether it be in song, and let it be the song of your heart, or whether it be the fruit of your life, the way that you're worshiping him too. So. Now, a couple announcements that we did have for today is starting in September, we will be kicking off and launching our life groups. And Darcy Colson is our amazing life group director. And I know that she has something specific planned. And we're going to be looking for people who would say, hey, yes, I want to be part of a life group. And the way that you can do that is you can go onto our website, legacymb.com/life groups, and you can get connected on there. Just fill out that form and they'll get you in. But also you could do is say, hey, I want to be a life group leader, and Darcy will help you to get trained and what does that look like. And we really have a heart's desire to say that you belong, and one important part of community is that when you belong in community, that doesn't just meet in a large group celebration, but it also meets in homes, it meets in coffee shops, it meets and even in rooms in the church, but it meets together in smaller groups, and that's where life and vibrancy really can take place. And so we want to encourage you to do that. Also, ladies, you might have saw the email, the women's Bible studies that we're going to start Monday and Thursday of this next week have been postponed. Obviously, due to the weather that we have, it just was wise to postpone it for a week. That does mean, you Monday ladies, you're going to be starting on Labor Day Labor Day on that Monday, and then also Thursday of next week, those groups will be starting, or the following week, I should say, those groups will be starting. So those dates are September 4th and September 7th. If you've already signed up for it, great. Next week, you can pick up your books. We got them in. They're $10 each. $10 for the Safari Guide and $10 for the actual book itself. And then, guys, our men's Bible study, I'm planning on meeting this Wednesday. We'll see if the weather is continuing to be crazy or not. I don't think it's going to be, and I'll send out information about that. And then, obviously, Love New Braunfels. That was our weekend that we were going to be doing Love New Braunfels, or this weekend was. And so what we're really praying for is, how do we take Love New Braunfels and turn it into Love Texas? So we're going to be looking for opportunities. I've already talked to many friends of mine who are ministers in the city, other senior pastors and in the region, and just asking them questions. And we're going to be coordinating some opportunity to maybe help those who had to evacuate from the coastal areas and won't be able to go home for a little bit of time. And what can we do, whether that's going to serve meals over at a shelter, or whether that's providing maybe it's warm blankets or something like that. But we will be coordinating, and that's really the essence of Love New Braunfels. It's a lifestyle daily that whenever something like this happens, the body of Christ rises up and becomes the representation of Jesus to the world around them. So let's go into our message time. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to go ahead and open them up to two passages of Scripture. The first passage is going to be Luke chapter 2, and then Hebrews chapter 13. And we're wrapping up the series, we just began a series last week of the four B's of how you're created to be. And last week we talked about building God's kingdom. And now this next week we'll be continuing into that series with believe, and then we'll talk about belong, and then we'll finish it up with how we continue to believe, belong, become. And what God has for us in the middle of this is incredible. I really believe that. But today, I really wanted to bring to you a message called Powerful Peace. And even though I have no one sitting in the sanctuary, actually, that's not true. There's angels here right now, I believe that, the angels that are always here at the church. But for you sitting at home, I want you to hear you say, Powerful Peace. And I personally, in times in the past, have struggled with maintaining peace in the middle of circumstances. And I don't know if that's the same thing about you, but over the last several years, as I began to really pursue the kingdom of the Lord, and I really began to pursue what a kingdom mindset is and what that looks like, the Lord really began to speak to me and say, why is your peace, why is the disposition of your heart so tied into your circumstances? Why, when something happens on the outside, do you allow the peace that is resident in you, or should be resident in you, begin to get shaken? And it really was a leap in my spiritual maturity when I began to say, wait a minute, Lord, you're right. I should never, ever allow my peace, my heart, to be disrupted by circumstances that are around me. Because I believe that God has created every one of us to be powerful. Let me hear you say, I am powerful. Let me hear you say, I'm powerful in the Lord Jesus. And see, I know the scripture says, in my weakness, God, you are strong. And so when we say, I am powerful, what I'm boasting in is I'm saying, despite my humanity, because I belong to him, that I'm a brand new creation, that I have the God of heaven, the fullness of God, who's pleased to live inside of me. Because of that, I am powerful. And there's another part of being powerful. Another part of being powerful means I have choice. Let me hear you say, I have a choice. Because you've been given free will, you have a choice. That makes you very, very powerful. You're not a robot. You're not programmed. In fact, what you're doing is you're designed to carry the power and presence of God. But in that exchange, God's looking for a relationship, and he's looking for you to make a determination in your heart of whether you're going to be aligned with heaven. And I know we talk a lot about this here at Legacy, whether you're going to be aligned with heaven, or you're going to align your heart with the things of this world and let those things determine your peace, your hope, your love, your future, your destiny. And we're always called to live from a heaven to earth destiny, not from an earth to heaven destiny. So when we look at these things, it's so important to look at what fruit is being produced. Now, before I would have said, if you turned on the news or the internet, within 5 minutes, you will see more bad news than the people heard in 150 years ago, combined, like across the world. In 1 minute, you will get more bad news than what they got 150 years ago. I believe that's even changing quicker and quicker because of social media and things like that. And then especially with the storm with Hurricane Harvey, I don't know about you, but I've been watching it around the clock and seeing what's going on. And I wasn't doing it from a position of fear, but I wanted to understand what was happening so I could release powerful prayers over those who are being affected. But if you're not careful, you will allow yourself to be influenced and your peace taken from you by what you're looking at, what you're watching, what you're receiving. And so that's why it's constantly important for us to have our hearts aligned with the Holy Spirit. Remember how Jesus lived his life. He says, I only do what I see my Father doing. So it meant through observation. It wasn't just because Jesus had come from heaven and he knew what his Father's heart was. It was because while he was here on earth, there was still this position of his relationship with him. He could see what his Father was going to do. And through observation, he was able to see it. So his eyes were attuned to heaven. They weren't attuned to the earth. And he says, I only say what I hear my Father saying. Now, if you're a verbal processor like me, a lot of times it's very easy to look at circumstances around you and begin to process what you're seeing. And then so instead of saying what the Father's saying or what he's doing, you begin to process the world around you. And what are you doing? You're tuning your heart with the things of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't process, but you need to be very careful of how it impacts your heart. And so what I would say is when Jesus, he heard what his Father was saying, then he looked at what was taking place. So he observed not to be influenced. He observed to be an influence. Let me say that again, because I think that's actually pretty good. I didn't have that in my notes. He observed not to be influenced of the things of the earth, but he observed to become an influence in the world around him. So he observes his Father in a heavenly relationship. He hears what his Father's saying on a consistent basis. Remember, he would go away to be alone. And then from that was his observation. That was the attuning fork. That was what was allowing him to be attune his heart so that when he walked into and then observed all the people who were sick, who were hurt, who were broken, who were hateful, who were saying meanful things to him, who were lost, it allowed him to become the influence of heaven into the earth. And so he was never moved. And that's because he walked and he moved with powerful peace. Let me hear you say powerful peace. See, the reason that is important is there's a difference between peace and the absence of conflict. Peace that we're talking about is that when peace is extended into an area, conflict cannot stand against that peace. It doesn't mean that conflict doesn't take place on the outside, but it means on the inside of me, there is no conflict. There's not a conflict of emotions. There's not a conflict of thoughts. What that means is I make a decision in that moment that the Prince of Peace, which is what the Bible calls the Lord, the Prince of Peace resides inside of me. And because of that, I know that from this point, I can become an influence of peace in the world around me. And so Jesus made a powerful impact. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. We celebrate it every week. And so how can we walk in powerful peace? I want to give you a walkaway statement today. If hope is built on the character of God, then peace is produced by the presence of God. If hope is built on the character of God, then peace is produced by the presence of God. So we look at the character of God. Who is he? He's eternal, yes, but he's love. He's king. He's just. He's merciful. He's kind. He's all those things because that's his character, and he never operates outside of his character. Our hope is built on that because it's a solid foundation. That means when a storm like this takes place, we know that God is not being shaken, that he's still love, he's still peace, he's still merciful, he's still kind, he's still just. And so my hope in the future, the hopeful expectation of good things coming, is built on his character. But see, it must go a step beyond that. Your hope that's built on the character of God must also be combined with what? The presence of God inside of you that produces peace. See, there's people in this world around that look at you and me, look at believers in Christ, born-again believers, and they see a hope. And they can be hopeful and say, I believe that God is good. They can believe things about God or even believe things about you, but inside, they actually don't walk in peace. Why? Because if they're not born again, they don't have the presence of God inside of them. It's the presence of God inside of them, or inside of you, that will produce peace. It means the enemy may war against you, but you're really already operating from a position of victory. When Jesus says, it is finished, that meant no matter the plans that the devil has from here to the time he's thrown into the lake of fire, those things really don't matter. What it means is his victory was firm and secure eternally. And so from that, I have a peace that's inside of me. And so what I have to do is I have to bring those things inside of my heart, my life, those belief systems, those fears, those things of the past, the trauma of the past, the fear of the future, any of those things, I must bring those things into alignment and say, okay, King Jesus, transform it by your peace. Because his presence, he steps over it and it transforms the circumstance because he has authority over it. So your hope is built on the character of God, but peace is produced. Let me hear you say produced. See, production means there's a continual thing that's taking place inside of you. There's a continual process that's taken inside of you. God is the King of Peace. He's never been at war. From the beginning to the end, he's never been at war because there's nothing that's more powerful than him. But inside of us, I would say that there's lots of moments that we experience a lack of peace. In fact, we feel at war inside of us. And what it's saying is if peace produces something inside of you, that means who he is, the seed is planted inside of your heart, and there should be a continual crop of good fruit that you're eating from on an ongoing basis. It produces roots down into your heart. It's good soil in your heart. It continues to nurture your heart, and you continue to take your thoughts and your alignment all within him. And what's produced from your life because of what's produced inside of you is going to be good fruit. So in order to be able to produce peace around you, you first have to have him inside of you producing peace inside of you. Once he produces peace inside of you, now you can become an influence for powerful peace around you, where people can look around and say, man, I have these beliefs, these religious beliefs or these religious thoughts about Jesus. I sure would like to have peace. I sure wish I could be peaceful. And in that moment, because you've experienced powerful peace, you can look at them and say, ah, that's something I can actually give to you. I can release my peace over you where they have a touch or an encounter with the Lord himself. That then at that point, they have a choice of then go, ah, they surrender to the lordship of Jesus in that moment because they're experiencing the goodness of God that comes through powerful peace. Let me read you some scriptures. Open up to Hebrews 13. I asked you that a few minutes ago. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says this. Now may the God of peace, let me hear you say, God of peace. So once again, there's a character statement about God. He's the God of peace. It's who he is, okay? So your hope is built on the character of God. God is hope. But because of that, you need that present inside of you in order to produce something. Look what it says. Now may the God of peace, who brought up the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. Look what it says here. I love this. This is in the New Living Translation. May he produce in you. Ha, I love that. Why don't you say right now, may he produce in me. Make it a declarative statement right now. This is scripture. This is not the idea of Jay. This is not the idea of man. This is scripture, okay? This is the firm word of God. So I want you to declare the word of God in you right now. May he produce in me. Yeah, that's good. I can almost hear you from where I'm at. Let me continue the scripture. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. What an amazing, amazing scripture. So what it's saying is, because of the character of who God is, may the God of peace, the God of peace, who did these things, he brought Jesus back from the dead. He ratified a brand new covenant. We don't live underneath an old covenant where sacrifice is needed anymore. We live underneath a new covenant where the blood of Jesus covers us. And because of that, we are at peace. We're no longer at war with sin. We're no longer at war with the world. We are now at peace with heaven that allows us to become peace into the world around us. Because that's what it says in verse 21. May he equip you. Let me hear you say, may he equip me. What's he equipping you for? Ask, well, Pastor Dave, what's he equipping me for? What he's equipping you for is to produce peace around you. To produce, to build the kingdom of heaven around you. As you become like him, as you believe like him, you're producing something inside of yourself. And you belong to him. There's something that takes place. So it says this, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ. Now, that's important. God wants to produce something inside of you, but he never does it outside of himself. That's why it's not about striving. It's not about how hard you work. It's not even how hard in yourself you pray or you worship, or you do lifestyle Christianity. What it means is this, is that through my relationship and surrender to him, the outflow of my life is coming from him producing something inside of me that does his good will through the power of Jesus Christ. It's in that power of Jesus, who he is, his character, his nature. And it says every good thing that's pleasing to him, he produces inside of you. Let me read you out of the King James Version, this, that, verse 21. It says, may he make you complete. Let me hear you say complete in every good work to do his will. He's making you complete. He's making you complete in every good work that he does inside of you and through you as you do his will. And it says, working in you. There's this production again. He's working inside of you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, right relationship with the Father equips you. It produces something inside of you. Right relationship equips you and then produces something within you. And this peace that comes, it comes salvation, it comes provision, it comes victory, it comes purpose, it comes wholeness, it comes completeness. In other words, whenever you surrender to the peace of God, the Lordship of Jesus, and you're saying, Lord, I'm no longer at war, but in you I have all that I need. Now you get to enjoy the benefits of salvation, the benefits of his provision, the benefits of fighting from victory, not towards victory. You're not having to win a victory, it's already been won. You're not having to fight for your purpose. Your purpose has already been established in him, and he's working his purpose through you and in you. And you don't have to fight for wholeness. You don't have to try to pull all these pieces together. He's made you whole and complete in Christ Jesus. And it all circles around this situation of, do I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, who's the God of peace? The God of peace. As you surrender to his power in your lives, it includes, as you surrender to the peace of God, when you surrender to the power of God, What it includes is now a situation like Harvey, a situation where you get that phone call from the doctor, a situation where maybe you lost your job, a situation where you have a loved one that you become at odds with. All those different things now must come underneath the authority of Jesus. And what it does inside of your heart allows you to become an answer to the world around you. Now, somebody did ask me, Pastor Jay, did you pray for the storm to cease? And I said, yes, I prayed for the storm to cease. And they said, does it mess your faith up? Does it discourage you that it continued to blow? And I said, absolutely not, because I'm not the one in charge. The Lord is. And I don't fully understand all that he has going on, but I do know his heart. I do know his character. I do know he does not send things like this for disaster. He doesn't try to teach people a lesson through this. We live in a new covenant through Jesus. I said, but what I do know is I can trust in his mercy and his goodness and his character. And so I must live with hopeful expectation of God's goodness that can transform a storm. And as I continue to watch the situation unfold, I'll tell you this. We're praying right now for the people in Houston specifically, where all that rain's being dumped on. And I just want to say something. As I've been watching the Weather Channel, it's been interesting to me. Has there been destruction? Yes. The pictures have been undeniable. My parents live in Port Aransas, and obviously they evacuated, and we're still getting pictures out of Port Aransas and seeing some of the damages done. My in-laws have a house in Aransas Pass. There's family that's down that area. I'm intimately and personally involved in that. But at one point did I pray from a position of fear and like, oh my gosh, God, I hope nothing bad happens. It was always from a position of peace and power, releasing that authority over the storm. But I'll say this, though. Even despite all the destruction that has taken place, multiple times I've heard on there, I cannot believe a Category 4 hurricane hit the coast. And there, at this point, there was only one confirmed dead. And that still in of itself is a travesty. We pray for that family. We pray for the peace of God to touch that family and to impact that family. And I don't know what the reports will come today, but I do know this, that in every other major storm that's happened like this, there's been many, many, many. I believe that God has supernaturally protected life and property in a way that we cannot possibly understand in the middle of this crazy storm. And we pray for that. We can release that. I'm at peace despite the fact that I can hear the wind swirling all around this building right now on this metal roof. It's just going around. It almost sounds like when you're down at the coast and you can hear the ocean just kind of rolling in. It's a consistent thing. That does not move my heart. You know what moves my heart? The goodness of God, the peace of God that transcends any human understanding, and it guards my heart and it guards my mind through and in Christ Jesus, so that as I am having peace produced in me because of the presence of God, I can become an agent of peace that produces peace and transformation around me. And in the coming days, we're going to need to be that peace in this world. And not just because of the storm, but the things that go on at large in our world, whether it was going on in Charlottesville or some of the other things across the states, and there's a brewing, I've heard some people say there's a third civil or second civil war coming around. We just need to stop getting caught up into those things and say, hey, wait a minute. We bring the powerful peace of Jesus. We are called. We have a responsibility to be the peace of God in the world around us. We must become a walking representation of what it looks like. And it's not because of something that you produce. It's something that he's producing inside of you. That despite your ability to choose fear, you choose faith and you choose love, the perfect love of God that expels all fear and it brings you peace. That's the situation we find ourselves at. I want to give you some examples of what this looks like. First Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself, who's doing it? God himself, the God of peace himself, sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, some people are so waiting for the rapture, so waiting for the end to come, that they stop being a sanctifying agent into the world around them until he comes back. The promise of Jesus is, may the God of all peace hold you and secure you until he comes back. And when he comes back, you're going to be held blameless in his sight. But until that point, you have to become an agent of change. Romans 16:20, the God of peace, the God of peace. I love this verse. I want you to repeat after me. The God of peace will soon crush. And who's he going to crush? Will soon crush Satan under your feet. Let's repeat that again. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. In other words, it's the God of peace. It didn't say the God of war. I love it. God's not at war. It says the God of peace. It doesn't matter how much the nations rage and the nations war. It doesn't matter how much Satan and his demons rage in war. It doesn't matter. They cannot move the heart of the Father into a position of war because they're not equals. The God of peace sits on heaven's throne because there's nothing that can threaten his peace. There's nothing that threatens him. And so because he's whole, he can look at us and laugh and say, now I've got a better plan. And what he wants to do inside of you is he wants to crush Satan under your feet. I love what that says. As the peace of God comes inside of you, he's turning you into an extension of his feet. Remember the verse says, talking about Jesus, the Messiah in the Old Testament says, and that he will, until he subdues the enemy underneath your feet like a footstool. I love what that says. Now that's talking about Jesus, but we are to do what Jesus did. And so in this position, we are the body of Christ that becomes the foot of God that crushes the enemy's head. But it's the Lord, the God of peace in you and through you that will soon crush Satan under your feet. Colossians 1:19 and 20. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace. Let me hear you say, he made peace. Look what it says. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Now, when you hear this, he made peace with everything in heaven. Let me unpack that. There's two levels of heaven, I think, that he's talking about here. One, the righteous requirement, the just requirement of blood to be paid for the sin of man was still there. And so he made peace with that requirement so there could be a restoration of humanity. But there's another part. When you talk about the first, and when you look through Scripture, it'll describe the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. Talking about on the earth, there's this first level experience, then there's the war, the second level, and the spirit, the heavenlies, and then there's the there's a real heaven where God's throne resides over all. And I believe what it says is in the second heaven, in the heavenly realms where the spiritual war, it says our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the prince of the air, the principalities that take place in that second heaven. And it says right here in Scripture that he made peace with everything in heaven. I believe in that moment it's talking about in the spiritual warfare that takes place, he robs the enemy of the ability to accuse you and actually have a right to have authority in your life. Now, does the enemy still come in at you? And yeah, he does, because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's looking for authority that he can rob back. And it's only when we, the born-again believers who have had that authority restored, hand it back over to him, like Adam and Eve did when they sinned, that he's able to have authority in your life. But what it says here is that God made peace with everything in heaven. And then it says this, and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That means we can walk around righteously here on the earth. I have peace. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience. Let me hear you say, then I will experience. We're so afraid of experiential Christianity. And I'm not going to go into that, but don't let somebody who's gone into the weeds stop you from wanting to experience the things of God. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Once again, it gives us this context for we must live in Christ Jesus. Now you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor, it says in Scripture that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives in me. And that's very true. But Galatians 2:20 also says it's no longer I who live. Because as it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, who Christ who lives in me. And my life is now lived by faith in the Son of God, in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That means this: on a consistent basis, I must realize that I am no longer my own. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives. And so my life is lived in him. And so, again, we always talk about this peace that's beyond my ability to understand, that'll guard my heart and mind. It says, but as, it's conditional, as you live in Christ Jesus. So what we have to understand is there's a continuation of, are you living in the peace of God? Or are you outside the peace of God? Are you living in the love of God? Or are you living outside the love of God? It doesn't mean it's separating you, because it says nothing can separate you from the love of God. But experientially, inside of your life, inside of your heart, you can make a choice, even as a born-again believer, to live outside of Christ, where all the peace, all the power, all the love is resident, and I can step outside of that flow, and I can make choices that are inconsistent with his character. And I won't experience peace. I'll live at war. I'll experience all this anxiety. But what it's saying here is this: when you come across something that wants to attune your heart, that's why it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell him what you need. Thank him. There's this idea of worship and thankfulness that attunes your heart. But he says, whenever you come across something, in that moment, you must make a decision that say, I'm going to stay in Christ. The way I stay in Christ, I come to him and then say, I'm not going to worry, because you are Lord and you are the Prince of Peace and you are my security and my refuge. And you come back into that and you pray about it. You tell him about it. You receive back from him. Because remember, prayer is not just what we say to him. Prayer is also this exchange of what we receive back from him in that. And he says, tell him what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace. God's peace. That's beyond your ability to understand. Means don't try to wrap your mind around it. Don't try to analyze it, because the moment you do that, you're moving yourself back outside of it. Because remember, in order to examine something, you can't examine it if you're in the middle of it. You have to get outside of something to be able to examine it. But it says instead, I'm in the middle of it, and it says it's beyond my ability to analyze it. Why would I want to? Right now, I'm going to experience this, and look what it says. It guards your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. The first thing that Jesus did when he saw his disciples for the first time after he was resurrected was to give them peace. John chapter 20, verse 19 says this: that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Now, before we go there, look at the disposition of the heart of the disciples. Look where their heart was attuned in that moment. They were meeting behind locked doors, not because of wisdom, but because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. The position of their heart was fear, because they did not know what was going to happen. And look what this: suddenly Jesus appears. I think sometimes we need the suddenly Jesus. Suddenly God shows up to where he attunes our hearts. And look what he says: peace be with you. He didn't say, hey guys, it's me. Hey, whoo, sorry I've been gone for 3 days. No, the first thing he says, he knows the position of their heart is being overrun and ransacked with fear and anxiety and doubt and not knowing what's going to happen. And his result was this: peace, I'm with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy and they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As a father has sent me, so I'm sending you. I love it. He says, because the Father sent me to become an agent of peace in the world. I'm giving you my peace so that I can send you to become an agent of peace. Remember, we're given the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is taking two things and bringing them whole in peace. It says, so I'm sending you again. But then he breathed on them and said, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. He sealed them up. into salvation. In other words, my presence is coming with my peace. What a powerful, powerful word that we have. It gets even better in every one of Paul's letters. Every one of Paul's letters, as well as if you look in John, Peter, and Jude, they all begin their letter. They all greet the leaders or the readers with an almost exact phrasing that you're going to find. Let me give you a few examples of this. Remember, every one of Paul's letters plus John, Peter, Jude. Look it up yourself. I want you to look it up yourself. Philippians 1:2. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Let me say grace and peace. Right? Grace and peace. Philemon 1:3. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus give you grace and peace. Jude 1:2. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. There's this aspect of peace again. 2 John 1:3, grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. I challenge you, go read the rest of Paul's letters, all the epistles, and you're going to find the same phrasing that's there. They begin a greeting to their reader saying the same thing that Jesus says when he appears. When he appears to the disciples for the first time, and he says, peace, peace, peace be with you. And what they're saying is I've been so transformed, and I'm going to begin this letter of greeting to you where I'm going to impart to you spiritual truth, spiritual doctrine, spiritual encouragement, even spiritual correction. But before I do that, Paul, Jude, John, they're all beginning their letters with, but first, may the God of all peace, may the God of peace give you peace, give you grace, give you love. They impart something to them. They're sending something that's tangible. It's tangible that allows you to attune your heart so you can receive the truth of God and you become the truth of God. Let's go ahead and read a part, and I'm going to wrap it up with this in a second. Open up to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read you a part of the Christmas story which demonstrates a practical example of this. And I know we're in the last weekend of August, but it's never a bad time to have the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this: that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. Isn't it interesting that the Lord has the armies of heaven, yet he's a God of peace? Because he's never threatened. So why are the armies of the Lord necessary for you and me? You and me. The armies of the Lord go to extend the kingdom of God, but it's not because he's threatened by the enemy or enemies. So as the armies of heaven, look what they do. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Peace on earth to whom God is pleased. When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing them, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. See, peace is not only possible, it's the very thing made available to us by Jesus. It's not just possible. I hope there's peace. I pray for world peace. No, it's the very thing that was made possible by Jesus himself. And I want you to look at that story differently. As the angels come, they're terrified. But the angel said, whoa, wait a minute, we've got good news. It becomes a tiding, it becomes good news. And it's that will bring great peace to those who hear it, whom God is pleased with. If you're born again, say, "I am." God is pleased to bring you good news today. He's looking to the world. He wants to bring good news to you so that it transforms you, it produces something inside of you, so that through you, you can become a messenger of what God is wanting to do in the world as a representation of the peace of Jesus. And I want you to look at what Mary did. Mary kept all these things in her heart. What we're called to do is the good things, the testimonies of how God has touched your life, how he's ministered to you, the stories of God's character. You must keep those inside of your heart so that when you face a situation or a trial that would want to challenge the goodness of God in your life, challenge the peace of God in your life, you bring out of the treasure of your heart through the Holy Spirit the good things that she's done already, and you say, no, wait a minute, I'm at peace. I've received the Prince of Peace. I live in the Prince of Peace. You cannot move my heart anymore, so that you can become an agent of the good news of peace. And I want you to finally, with that last part of that story, it says this. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Let me hear you say, heard and seen. Where have we heard that before? Jesus said, I only do what I have seen my Father do. I see him doing it. And now he say what I hear my Father saying. In other words, it comes back in. Where is the attention on this night when heaven invaded earth? One, when Jesus Christ was born, but two, when the heavens will pull back and the angels came and they said, hey, heaven's coming back to earth and you better be ready for it. There was this great peace that brought out, this joy that was brought out. It was this good news. And from that point on, the believers of Christ, what we're supposed to do is, what am I seeing him doing? What do I hear him saying? So that attunes my heart. I keep it in my heart, what God is saying to me, what I've seen him do, the good things, so that I can become a representation everywhere I go. Remember that walk away statement. If hope is built on the character of God, then peace is produced by the presence of God. We have hope in who he is. We walk in peace because he's here with us. It says, don't worry, I've overcome the world. You'll face trials, you'll face tribulations. There's lots of stuff that will try to come against you, but don't worry. Don't let your hearts, it says in Scripture, be troubled. That's what Jesus told his disciples, because I have overcome the world. It means he's overcome every situation. The question that comes down is this: which power are you willing to submit to? Which power are you willing to submit to? Are you willing to submit to the power of God's peace made available through Jesus? Are you looking to submit to the power of fear and anxiety, the things of this world, doubt, that's fed by an inferior being named Satan? See, there's no neutral zone. There's no Switzerland in this thing, this battle for our hearts. Instead, it says, I'm going to submit to the power of heaven, or I submit to the power of the world. And my choice today is to submit to the power of heaven so that I can become a light that transforms and overcomes the power of Satan in this world. We destroy the works of the devil everywhere we go by bringing powerful peace. Let me read these last two scriptures and then we're going to pray. And I just want to spend a few minutes after this message just releasing powerful prayers. It says the effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. We're going to continue to pray for all those that are being touched and impacted by Harvey right now. But Isaiah 54:10 says this: for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace. This is Old Testament, y'all. This one says, my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, means the things of this earth might be moved and shaken, but his kindness will not be removed from you, and his covenant of peace will not be removed from you. So don't look at the world shaking around you. Realize you have a covenant of peace with the Lord who has mercy on you. And finally, 2 Peter 1:2. This is the Amplified Version. Say, may grace, God's favor, and peace Look what it says. Which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you. Let me read this again. That's incredible. It says, may grace, God's favor, and peace. And look how it describes, the Amplified Version describes peace. This is like a running commentary about peace, which is perfect well-being. Does anyone need perfect well-being inside of them? All necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions. Other words, the old sin nature trying to come back at you. Agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Let me read it one more time without commentary. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Right where you're at, I want you just to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to ask this question. It's a question I have you ask almost every week. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me right now? And just take a second and hear from Him. I sense that there's those who have been battling for peace. You've been battling anxiety or fear, doubt. Not because you don't believe God's good, but it's just been a lot of circumstances, a lot of pressure that's been put onto you. And I just sense right now that the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to relieve you of that. I want to bring you to peace right now. If that's you right now, to say, Holy Spirit, I repent of ever coming underneath a power or authority other than you. I repent from fear, anxiety, and instead, I choose you right now. I receive your peace. I receive your breakthrough. And I choose as an act of my will to live your way, to live in you right now. Now there may be others as you're watching this, and this is all sounding good, but this is the life of the born-again believer. Everything I talk to you about today is actually available to those who have become born again in Christ Jesus, because we've been made at peace with the Father in heaven. We've been reconciled to Him. But if you've never made that choice to be reconciled to the Father, you've never become born again. And whether that means you're just hearing about God for the first time, or you've been going to church, or you've been kind of hearing about these things, but you've never made that decision. It's all been kind of religion or church to you at this point. But in this moment, you realize, I really want to experience that peace. I really want to settle this. This is not about praying a prayer to get to heaven. It's not about a destination prayer. This is a prayer right now of transformation. The Father doesn't want to just bring you to a place to live with Him forever. That's true. But He wants to come live inside of you, bring heaven inside of you, to transform you, to take up residence inside of you, so that you no longer live for yourself, but you would live for Him on a moment-by-moment basis all the days of your life. That's what it means to be born again. And so I'm just going to give you an invitation right now. Peter in the Book of Acts, he preached for the first time after the Holy Spirit had come inside of him. And as he talked to him about how Jesus had died on a cross, a criminal's death, and how he had suffered and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind and the resurrection of Jesus. As he began to tell them about the goodness of God through the resurrection of Jesus, the people asked the question, brother, how might we be saved? This word sozo, saved, healed, and set free, made whole. I would just give you another word. How do we come at peace? Because really, when you look at salvation, it's really, I come underneath the peace of heaven, where there is no sickness, there is no illness. There's no sin that separates me because I'm at peace. And it says there's no fear and anxiety because why? I'm at peace. And it means that there's no, I'm being set free from the things of the world. Maybe it's addictions or old thought patterns or rage or unforgiveness. I don't even walk underneath, I'm walking underneath peace because it's been resolved underneath the blood of Jesus. That's what it means to be born again, must be saved. And I just sense right now there's somebody where you're at and you're saying, Pastor Jay, how might I be saved? How might I experience this peace? And what I'm telling you is right now, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he loves you, that he died on the cross for you, that he rose again for you and as you. And it says if you, the Bible says specifically, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. It's a confession that flows from your heart of truth that says, I'm making a willful decision to confess Jesus, your Lord. And you believe in your heart. See, your confession flows out of your belief in your heart. And what's the belief in your heart? God rose Jesus from the dead for me. And in that moment, it says, you will be saved. So if you've made that confession this morning, just say right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord. I believe that God rose him from the dead. And that in this moment, I am born again. Give him thanks for it. Say, thank you, God, for my salvation. Now, I want to pray a prayer specific too for you, that you didn't just come to this moment of salvation, but we just read it in the book of John, where when Jesus said, peace, he followed up with, now receive. He breathed on him and received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes in and seals you for salvation. There's another example, another experience in the book of Acts, where on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes in power and it clothes them. It endues them with power so they could transform the world. There's two separate experiences. Right now, I want to pray for a filling, a baptism of the Holy Spirit over you, because the moment that you said, Jesus, you're my Lord, the Holy Spirit came on you and sealed your heart for salvation. But now, I want to just pray a baptism, a filling of God's presence that gives you all that you need to succeed from this day on to become a representation of the peace of God everywhere you go. So if that's you, whether you just became born again for the first time, or all of you out there and you're just saying, I want a fresh baptism, just open up your hands and be ready to receive. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just position our hearts to you. We say right now, we are at peace with you, that you are the God of all peace, and we thank you for that peace. We thank you, Lord God, that you sit on your throne, that nothing can threaten your throne. Nothing can threaten you. But instead, Lord, you made a choice to extend your kingdom into this earth and into us. And so I pray right now for a baptism, a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit that would be experiential by nature. I pray for those that have never experienced it, Lord, to fill your peace that's beyond their ability to understand. I pray, Lord God, for people, I sense people right now, you're getting an overwhelming wave, a tsunami of God's love and peace over you right now. And that for the first time, you're experiencing the peace of heaven. There's others right now, I just declare over you, fire from heaven to flow over you and into you. So much so that you would transform your world. We thank you, Lord, that your power, your spirit, lives inside of us. And works through us. Now, Father, right now, we just move into a time of intercession for all those that are impacted. We once again speak to Harvey. And Jesus, just as you spoke to the storm and said, peace be still. Jesus, you said that we would do the same things as you did and even greater things. So, Lord, from the authority that you gave us, we speak to the storm, Harvey, and say, we say, peace be still. We speak to flooding waters. Right now, raging waters, we say, peace, be still. We pray right now and declare that that you would release angels to make a way for every river, stream, tributary, bayou, all across the coast in our city, in our region, all the way over to Houston and Louisiana. Lord, that you'd make a way for that to drain safely back into the Gulf, that there would be no life, loss of life or property. We pray right now to supernatural protection, supernatural covering in your name, Jesus. Those who are in harm's way right now, we thank you that you are sending even angels right now to keep them safe. Thank you that you're keeping all our first responders, police and fire and volunteers, our military. Thank you for keeping them safe. We declare wisdom right now over every single leader that has to make a decision, whether it be federal, state, or local, on what to do next, Lord, that the wisdom of heaven would flow into them and they would have every single thing they need to make not just the good decision, but the right decision, that your righteousness. And that, God, that as the whole world watches right now, that this would become a sign to them, that they would see your power, your wisdom, and your peace on display in a way that they never would have experienced. We know that you work all things out for good, that you didn't send the storm, but you will certainly work good things in the middle of the storm, Lord. So we pray, Lord, for that peace. We pray for your extension of your kingdom. Heaven invade us. Heaven, come swiftly. Transform this world as you're transforming us. And we just thank you for that, Father, and declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Whew. Thank you guys so much for joining me this morning. Something happened this morning. I think there was something about being spread out all over our city. And I know there's some who are, you're touching in from other parts of the state. There's something that's happening right now because you are worshiping them collectively in this hour, at this moment, wherever you're at, that's extending the kingdom in your neighborhoods and your schools and in your streets. And we know that something powerful is going to take place. I thank you. I look forward to this week. We will be evaluating opportunities for us to become Love New Braunfels. And it's, like I said, it may be turned into Love Texas. Love those who have been evacuated, and we'll look for those opportunities, and we'll let you know. We are planning for Wednesday night to still be taking place here, but we will communicate that out. And of course, next weekend is Labor Day weekend, so be safe. We'll be here. I'm excited. This morning we were going to be praying over all our brand new members that joined the last two classes. We had multiple families, and so next week we'll be looking to do that and welcome them together. So you guys have an incredible rest of this day. Be blessed. Keep worshiping. I love you guys. God bless.